This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motor Studio mobile today in Minneapolis after Penn State beat Michigan last night, 66-57. Penn State gets Indiana tonight at 9, 8:30 the airtime from the Target Center. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers. Get your career or business rolling by making that call or getting in line to NILGameChangers.org. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right. It looks like they are close, by the way, to finalizing the college football playoff structure. The Big 12 and the ACC are on board with it. I am in Minneapolis, which is normally where Neil is. I don't know where he is now. But, sir, welcome. It is always a pleasure. Appreciate it, because we're going to turn this one into Thursday with Neil.
As always, it's a pleasure to be here, and oddly enough, I am smack dab in the middle of ACC country here in Charlotte, North Carolina. how's Minneapolis doing? I'm bummed I couldn't be there to get out and go to dinner or something.
Exactly. I already had Murray's picked out, as a matter of fact. That's it. Hey, you're running with me, pal. I know where to go.
You should have told me this years ago then. I'm glad the Big Ten is completely out of whack and crazy about where everybody is.
Oh, it's not going to be here next year, but still. But it's great to have you on board. There's a lot to talk about, a lot of ground to cover. So let's start with the Steelers go out and get Russell Wilson. Now, he's going to get about $37, $38 million for the Broncos and so forth. So this is a Filene's bargain basement deal by NFL standards. But what about from football standards? What do you think?
The football standards, you're getting a bargain for sure, but maybe this is just me. I don't want a bargain at the quarterback position of the NFL. And I would also say this. Let's wait until the contract details are revealed. I don't think it's straight up league minimum. You wouldn't do that for a starting quarterback. You've got to give them something to reach up to. I think, you know, some incentives or something like that. But bottom line, you're probably going to get better quarterback play for less money even than a third-year guy on a rookie contract. So right there, you have to kind of say it's a win. I don't know how significant of a move it is, and a lot of people are touting it as such. In one way of thinking, and I'm taking the opportunity to make a cheap joke, it's you got for a team that needed to sign a veteran backup quarterback, now you have two of them. So yeah, this works out well in that regard. But I think reasonably you can expect Wilson to probably perform a little bit better overall than Kenny Pickett did. But for me, I think really the addition here is by subtraction. I think it's an actual NFL-level offensive coordinator who can set up a structure in which a quarterback can have some success. Now, is he going to be an all-pro? Probably not. But you make a big addition at your coordinator spot, and maybe maybe not a gigantic, but something of an improvement at your quarterback, you're going to have a better offense. The details come with that, and that's a benefit for the Steelers because the strength of their offense, if they have had any, has been outside of their coordinator and their quarterback. So there's still an off season to go. You've still got a draft. They're probably going to make some moves in terms of, you know, the second wave of free agency. But they're a better team now than they were, and I really think that that overall is what they needed to do right away here.
What does it say about what they think about Kenny Pickett?
Honestly, I don't know, because you can't get away from the fact that Wilson's contract is uncomparable. You know, there are not guys brought in to even have a whiff of a starting job, barring injuries, playing for the minimum. You know, I'll admit this on the air. I grossly overestimated what the market was for Mason Rudolph. Mason Rudolph's getting five times what Russell Wilson is.
I know.
And Rudolph signing in Tennessee, he's probably not going to start. You know, you've got a pretty reasonable assurance that's going to happen. Mitch Trubisky signed for more money than both of them. And in my opinion, Mitch Trubisky was the worst player in the NFL last season to start two or more games. So it's a weird market, but really the anomaly here is Wilson's contract. So that kind of speaks to everything. He obviously is in a very different situation. But strategically, what you have with the Steelers is we'll take a shot on a guy that we think has some game left. And if he does, if he performs well in 2024, he's healthy, we have faith in him, you can sign him to a three-year deal. Give him market value, say $40 million per. That's a three-year contract, $120 million. And functionally, you have a fourth year that he just played. So you got a quarterback for $121 million over 4 years. He's your starter in that time. That's going to look like a bargain by year three. It'll be a bargain by year three. So and I'm obviously making up numbers just to draw out the point that it's a creative way and kind of a you know, exploiting a market inefficiency in finding a starting quarterback. And with that, I don't think any of it has anything to do with Kenny Pickett other than the fact that this is cheap. This is the better option for what we can see right now. He's still there if this doesn't work. And I know it looks weird, but for where they were, I think it's a reasonable risk to have taken on for where they are as a team, for where they're trying to go, and for what we've seen of Pickett to this point. Might hurt some feelings, but at the end of the day, you've got to take a shot at a proven commodity in the league if you think that that player still has something left in the tank. And that really is the big question here.
The Broncos did go through that five-game winning streak mid-season, in which they beat four playoff teams, including the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. I realize different system, different personnel, but is there something out of how Wilson played that we can take from that?
From what I saw, the biggest issue that Wilson had was more, it's not as obvious. Because you look at his numbers, it looked like if they were 11-5, you think he's a pretty good player.
Right.
It goes to show how dishonest stats can be for a quarterback, because the main issue with Wilson, he had gaps. He missed stuff.
Right.
When Peyton's melting down on the sideline, it's usually because a culmination of several missed opportunities. And from my vantage point, it looked like he missed a lot in early down that put him behind the chain. They didn't want him to have to do as much as he would have to do, pushing the ball down the field on third and nine, because he missed an open look on first and ten. And Wilson, to me, that speaks to the awareness of what's going on around him, the ability to see the field. At the same time, though, what I also have seen is Ryan Tannehill, who had similar issues in his career early on, play at nearly a Pro Bowl level under Arthur Smith, because Arthur Smith gave him very makeable stuff. He put weapons around him to dominate the short space around the line of scrimmage, down the seam a little bit. In other words, he utilized tight ends and running backs. That sets Wilson into, I think, where he is in his career. He can still throw the ball down the field, but they're going to need to possess the ball much better. They're going to need to get ahead of the chains for the sake of a running game that they want to utilize. It's a good pairing in that regard. And I think because of that, these were things that absolutely Sean Payton is not asking the quarterback to do. Sean Payton has a pretty strict high-to-low read, multi-level type of offense. Wilson's probably not the best guy for that, but Sean Payton didn't bring Russell Wilson in. So you can see why that divorce happened the way that it did. But I think from a rebound perspective, Wilson has the ability to succeed under Arthur Smith, whereas he really didn't with Peyton. And Peyton seemed to know that by the end and led to some issues, and now they're paying him $85 million not to play for them over the next 2 years.
Is Deontay Johnson going to where you are, Charlotte, Carolina, addition by subtraction?
Absolutely. I mean, we talked about this when it happened. I said, I think this is probably fatal. You can't keep this guy. And the reality is, nobody really seemed to want to talk about this, but he held out. I know that it's not going to be called that because he physically showed up, as if there's a legal definition of what a holdout is. He demanded more money in his contract, and he was not going to practice in training camp until he got it. The Steelers gave it to him in a real, basically a two-year front-loaded type of deal that became upside down. In other words, his salary is lower than his cap hit for this season. That means extend or trade. And I think the team said, okay, look, you're exploiting this. You probably shouldn't, but you're exploiting this. We're going to be in a situation after the next two seasons where we're going to be able to revisit this, and we're good with that. We'll give you more money if you are. And what Johnson did this past season, while you will never hear me say that Deontay Johnson's not a good football player, he's a very good receiver. He's done a lot of good, and he should be paid at the higher level. But for what he did in terms of the optics, in terms of leadership, I'm not paying a guy that much money. I'm not paying a guy even second-tier market for a wide receiver if that's what he's going to put on film. I don't care what the other stuff he did. I can't win with a guy like that. And more than anything, that's the basis of the Steelers' decision to trade him. They didn't get value on that trade. They got rid of a contract that they don't want to have to pay because they don't want a guy like that in the locker room around their team. My guess is it will also necessitate the signing of a veteran receiver. I think a guy, ironically, like Tyler Boyd, who, when he was on the Bengals, was calling out the Steelers for things like that, at around the salary level that Johnson was going to be this season, makes a lot of sense for them. I would not be at all surprised to see if that's the direction they're going to go. But they're going to want to bring in a higher target, veteran leader type of receiver. And for me, Boyd fits that very well. We'll see what they end up doing, but at the end of the day, I hope Johnson doesn't do things like that regularly. I hope he doesn't do it for the Panthers. This is a bad look overall, and I still feel like that leaves a bad taste in people's mouths, even to this day. And it's too bad. His career shouldn't be remembered for that, but it was his action.
Neil, to me, they go out and they did something that really took me aback, and I mean took me aback in a positive way. The signing of Patrick Queen at linebacker, because I realize linebacker, like running back, is more of a, quote, devalued position, but I look at a player like Queen, I think he's terrific. What did you think of the signing?
I'll say this. I enjoyed bagging on Patrick Queen as a Raven. More than anything, I really took exception to the constant, obvious, and false comparison between him and Ray Lewis when he was coming into the draft, because everyone knew Baltimore was going to draft him. Ray Lewis went in the 20s. This guy went in the 20s to the Ravens. Therefore, he's Ray Lewis. Like, whoa. Okay. No, he's not. He had that temperament. He played in purple and black. Sure. He's not even close to Ray Lewis. And I know who knows that. It's the Baltimore Ravens. They traded for Roquan Smith. They gave Roquan Smith the green dot. And they gave Roquan Smith the extension, and now they let Queen walk. So I think he's a solid player, for sure. There are good things that he does. I'm not sure what their defensive game plan was in the playoffs when they had Queen covering Travis Kelce, who was leaving tire tracks all over him for most of that game. And I guess, to an extent, it's good to see Queen get up and continue to talk to Kelce as if he just did something on the play. At the same time, though, all jokes aside, here's the bottom line. The Steelers have not had that pod boss type at the middle, at the inside linebacker position in a very, very long time. The position has been, in a way, cursed since Ryan Shazier went down. A busted high draft pick that they gave up multiple assets for, and everyone else either grossly underperformed or got injured. They have not been able to fill that. And I think with that, that almost puts the premium on there to pay Queen to come in, probably to play all three downs. Whether he'll be the green dot guy, I depends on a lot of things. Cole Holcomb's return, I think, is one of them. But they need somebody that's going to play 17 games. And I'm not saying that it's anybody's fault that they didn't. It's just they've had a tremendously long run of bad luck. And Queen is the latest iteration in that, but it's also the biggest investment that they've made financially in one, and at a position of absolute dire need. I mean, we could make a pretty good 11-item listicle on inside linebackers who have started for the Steelers over the last 7 years that you've never heard of. There's a bunch of them, and to be able to get away from that, to try to do something to get away from that, they absolutely needed to do it. And I didn't think that they would, but good on them for that. It was money that they needed to spend. I think it'll, I mean, it's hard not to find an upgrade from where they were at inside linebacker at the end of last season, but he's experienced. He's a good athlete. He's explosive. I think he can play that the weak side position within the defense they've been running. And there's value there for it, for sure.
And I think you know what my next question is going to be, because we talk about this all the time. Going through the free agent cycle, maybe picking up a veteran wide receiver somewhere, but how does this now, in your opinion, set up the draft based on how they handle free agency?
You know, one thing with Omar Khan, what we've seen, he loves to hit the nail square on the head. And I don't mean necessarily success versus failure. I mean, they know they have a need. They're going to go fill that need to what they feel, you know, filling it is, which gives them options in the draft. They picked up a veteran cornerback, Dante Jackson. I'm not sure if he is, you know, somebody that they're expecting to perform at the same type of level as Deontay Johnson, but it was a position they needed to fill. That gives them options. They don't have to invest in another premium cornerback, but they could if they wanted to. You know, you have to like what you have. With Joey Porter coming out this past season. Putting all that together, I think long-term, they still are going to need a cornerback if they can get off the cycle of free agent signings of inside linebackers and cornerbacks and invest in those positions and develop some people. They'll be better off defensively. They're going to need another wide receiver along with the veteran signing. I think that has to be a position that you prioritize. And they're going to need to add depth along their offensive line. And this is a franchise that has relied pretty heavily on developing them from the middle to late rounds. You know, Chuck Okorafor was a third-round draft pick, I think, largely based on potential. I know Steelers fans don't like this, but I would imagine Dan Moore is going to start another year just due to what they have available and his price tag. But he's, you know, in a very similar position to Okorafor. He can get benched by a rookie mid-season if the rookie is ready to go. So offensive tackle looks like a position they might want to prioritize. In this free agency period, we saw guards explode in terms of value. So buying one in free agency isn't the easiest thing to do anymore. But for me, overall, they need a center. And they let the centers go in free agency. They kicked the tires on a few of them. Who all else signed elsewhere? I think there are two centers you could get and reasonably justify a top 40 pick on. Would not surprise me if that's the direction they're looking for round one. They have to get a day one guy who starts immediately. I think that's what they're going to do.
Might I recommend Zach Frazier from West Virginia?
He's my guy. I don't want to go on the record of saying that now. But if they stay where they are and they get Frazier. Where I think is reasonable value, some might say is a little bit high. I don't care. They need to have a starting center to make their guards better. They have not done much of that recently. So Frazier to me is an A1 prospect. He's a high level guy, great athleticism. He's got the size that you want. Maybe not, you know, he's not Maurkice Pouncey big, so people aren't saying, you know, draft him in the top 15, but you can justify 20 overall on him. I think he would come in and make a difference right away.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I watched a lot of video of West Virginia before last year's game, then did the West Virginia game. I walked out thinking, guy can play. Neil, I know you took some time. I appreciate it so much. Enjoy the warmer weather there as compared to the cooling weather here in Minneapolis.
Yeah, you missed the tail end of it being nice. It's like 75 and sunny here, absolutely gorgeous. But as always, thanks for having me. We'll meet up again next week.
Thanks, Neil. Appreciate you. And we'll come back. We have Dave Spadaro coming up as well, right, Todd?
Yep, next segment.
Sound so excited about it.
I got there. I had to make sure my microphone was on.
Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you in part by NIL Game Changers.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could chop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And the Sunbury Motor Studio Mobile in Minneapolis, where tonight the Nittany Lion basketball team will play in the second round of the Big Ten tournament against Indiana after beating Michigan last night 66-57. 9 o'clock the tip-off tonight. We're on beginning at 8:30 from the Target Center here in Minneapolis. This half hour of the show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, light, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. The best customer service going, because they want to make sure you're fully insured and save you money at the same time. It's all at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And again, Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Dave Spadaro joins us. Hello, Dave. How have you been?
I'm doing fine, thank you. How are you today? It's a beautiful day, and while it seems like summer's around the corner, so it seems in Philadelphia like everybody can't wait for football season to get started.
Can you blame them after the signing of Saquon Barkley? Look, I thought DeAndre Swift did a heck of a job for him, but what does this do in reality to upgrade what the Eagles are doing offensively by the addition of Saquon Barkley?
Gives him a player with a bit more range in his game, I would say. Bigger, stronger, red zone threat, probably a better blocker. I mean, I will tell you that the Eagles never really used DeAndre in the pass game like I think they should have. I mean, he's a very talented wide receiver, as is Saquon. I think there's a great deal of explosiveness, of course, in Saquon Barkley. I happen to believe, look, I know that when the Eagles played the New York Giants, Saquon Barkley was the first target. He was the first he's the first player you have to account for. And so if you have to account for somebody like Saquon Barkley and A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Jalen Hurts as both a runner and a thrower, and Dallas Goedert, you know, that puts a lot of stress on the defense. And I think what it does, the impact here is that you've just got yourself a major weapon, and that's how I would look at Saquon Barkley.
Now they have to use him, though. And I think you know where I'm going with this, Dave, because one of the issues with Philadelphia is that when they have Miles Sanders, there was periods of time where they'd run 20-something first-half plays and five would be runs. They did that occasionally with DeAndre Swift. When you look at them and the ability to utilize the run game and have the ability to understand that it's okay to go back to it, does that concern you at times?
Well, I can't really comment on that because I don't know what Kellen Moore's got in mind. And this is Kellen Moore's offense. And I would just point to the success he had in Dallas early last year. I mean, prior to a spate of injuries with the Chargers in L.A.,
right.
The Chargers were, I think, the number six offense in the league. So, I mean, I don't know what he specifically has in mind for Saquon, but again, I'm not just using Saquon Barkley as a running back. I'm using him as a wide receiver. I'm
right.
getting the football
right.
in his hands. And I'm also aware, though, look, it's a very fine line that it's a 17-game season and you want your players fresh throughout the year. I think Kenny Gainwell's a quality back. I think he's a good second back in a rotation. So I guess I would expect to see that. But I certainly would think that on a consistent basis, you would expect Saquon to get the football, you know, quite a bit, but not enough to wear him out, but quite a bit. And look, I was also pushed back on this. In 2022, Miles Sanders made the Pro Bowl. In 2023,
right.
DeAndre Swift was a Pro Bowl player. So I don't think the Eagles are the only team doing that. And I'm sure it infuriates fans everywhere, as clearly as it does Eagles fans at times.
My observation's not as a fan in the least. It's just an observation of watching a lot of football in my life.
Sure.
So, because I'm not an Eagles fan.
I'm pointing out that it's a common refrain that I've heard from fans as well. So I understand what you're saying. And it has been really, look, I mean, honestly, it's something that we've talked about with the Eagles since the Andy Reid days. So I think it's kind of a lot of the NFL. It's just a passing league, and coaches want to go get themselves some chunk plays in the passing game.
I completely agree with that. I think you're absolutely right, Dave. I think when I look, I think this does wonders for Jalen Hurts. And I think I know Daniel Jones can run. We can, the passing thing we'll put to the side for the moment. But I think the mere fact that Hurts is the kind of runner he is makes Saquon more effective. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think it also makes Jalen more effective. I think one of the big things last year, there were really two areas of Jalen's game that took a step back. One was the giveaways. He went from 8 in 22 to 20 in 23. And then his yards per carry went from 4.6 to 3.9. And it just seemed that defenses came in and their primary focus, let's not let Jalen Hurts beat us as an explosive runner. So I do think that it makes it much harder to key in on Jalen Hurts, and vice versa. I think it's going to be much more difficult to hone in on Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine the freedom that he is going to feel looking around an offense that A, has a great offensive line, B, has a quarterback with such dual abilities, C, has wide receivers that he never dreamed of having in New York, and then D, a tight end who can also do it. So, I mean, I think it absolutely opens up this offense and Saquon and Jalen in a lot of ways. But, Steve, what I can't wait to see is what is Kellen Moore's vision for this offense? That's the big unknown.
He's got a lot of, quote, toys to work with. Sterling Shepard was the best receiver Saquon had in New York. He wouldn't start for this team. All right, so I have to ask about the retirements of Kelce and Cox. Not just as performers, Dave, but as veteran leaders in a locker room that have to be replaced.
Yeah, no doubt. And they both, Eagles, won a lot of football games here. And I think the teams, look, I think everybody understood for years here that Jason was going to be going to retire either last year or the year before. I mean, it was always kind of on the precipice of retirement. And same with Fletcher. So you groom young players, and it is time for those players to step up. And I think, look, honestly, the way the Eagles finished the season was really disappointing, incredibly disappointing. Well, the leadership couldn't bring it out, right? Could not reverse that. Right. So I just, look, I think you still have enough Brandon Grahams and Lane Johnsons around from an older standpoint. But this really has to be Jalen Hurts' team. And to me, even if Kelce were here or Fletch stayed, to me, Jalen Hurts is the one who has to set the tone and get this Eagles swagger back. Look, I think getting guys like C.J. Gardner-Johnson really helps. I think bringing Saquon Barkley in, who's got an impeccable, you know, line of his approach to the game, his ability to lead from an example standpoint, really helps. And then there's a young group of Eagles who are ready to go. Landon Dickerson's of the world, the Cam Jurgens of the world, Jordan Mailata. It is time. It is time for Devontae Smith to step up. It is time for Dallas Goedert to step up. It's much harder to say who the leaders are on defense because I think there's going to be such a turnover of personnel there. But hey, Jordan Davis, it's your third season. It's time to go out and be a first-round draft pick and to be a leader. So it's a natural progression that happens in the locker room, and we'll see which players step up.
Yeah, a couple years when they drafted Jurgens a few years ago, it was the idea that he'd been, if I recall, he was a center at Nebraska. Dickerson has played center at Alabama. How do they want to null that position out with Kelce not there?
Yeah, I mean, I would think that it's going to be Jurgens. I think Dickerson has proven himself as a Pro Bowl left guard. And I remember, Steve, when they drafted Jurgens, I was in the draft room and then went to Jeff Stoutland, the offensive line coach's room, and he showed me some film of Jurgens, and he was just raving. I mean, raving about him. And then Jurgens went out and impressed in a big, big way in the preseason. Didn't play at all as a rookie. Was good enough to transition to right guard and start and play well. I just think Jurgens is going to be a great center. And, I mean, you can't really replace what Kelce is as a veteran, for sure. But from an athletic standpoint, I mean, Jurgens is right there. He is fast, strong, second-level guy, intelligent. He really does have it all. And I hesitate to say it, but I'm going to say it. Maybe doesn't skip a beat without Jason Kelce. I mean, I think the experience part of it is something that it's going to have to grow into that. But from a football standpoint, what a fine young talent he is.
Yeah, I agree with you, Dave. I think there actually is a chance that it may be more seamless than people realize, which I think is, I mean, that's fun. My question is going to be when they get into the short yardage, and can Jurgens get as low snapping the ball as Kelce did? I never saw anybody snap the ball that low in my life.
Amazing. I will also say this. I would expect the Eagles. See, the other part of it, Steve, is this. There, I would imagine Jurgens is what, about 310, 320. I would imagine they'll have and that's dripping wet. They want to go bigger at right guard, whether that's Tyler Steen, who was a third round pick last year. And I think having that added bulk around Jurgens, you know, last year, Kelce didn't have that bulk to his right because Jurgens wasn't that kind of guy. Having that extra bulk ideally would help in those brotherly shove moments. And then you've also got Saquon Barkley back there, who has shown that he's got some power. So, you know, it may not be as many Jalen Hurts quarterback sneaks, tush pushes, brotherly shoves as we've seen in the past.
You mentioned Kellen Moore earlier. Have you taken the time to look at the Dallas and Chargers stuff just to get a feel for how he likes to go about his business packages and so forth? Or is it just something you'd like to see play out before your eyes?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly am aware of some of the stuff Dallas did with more under center formations, more motion than we saw last year. They like to run the football at times. But I also am very aware of something that Nick Sirianni has said a lot is, you know, you don't come into an offense and expect person them that best suits your personnel. Now, I happen to think that this personnel group has a lot of variety to it, a lot of depth to it, and we'll see that Kellen potentially can run pretty much anything he wants. But I would expect it to be, you know, let's get Jalen running at the ball and make him a dual threat. Let's get him under center a bit more. Let's have pre-snap motion, which the Eagles, I think, ranked 32nd in the league last year. And maybe use more than three receivers. And I think that's why, you know, getting more depth at wide receiver is so important in this offseason. And that's why they made the move to get Devontae Parker.
Agree on Parker. Great point, by the way. Great. One more point about Saquon. I have found it comical, the reaction in New York about him going to Philadelphia, like he betrayed everybody. You're the people that were franchise tagging him. Come on. After a while.
Yeah, I'm only aware of what Tiki Barber said, which was really bizarre. Yeah. And it kind of breaks the player code, right? Your players are in the NFL for only a period of. Yeah, I thought it was sour grapes. And the Giants have had many, many opportunities to lock up Saquon Barkley for the rest of his career. They didn't do it. And hopefully that is the gain for the Philadelphia Eagles and the loss for the New York Giants.
You can't wait for August, can't you?
Yeah, I mean, but I also recognize this. And Steve, I've been around a long time, right? And a lot of times,
yeah,
I've spoken 3 days into free agency when the Eagles haven't done a whole lot, and I've kind of always said, well, it's a long off season. There's a lot of roster building to go, so let's kind of pause and see how it looks when it's all done. And I have to stay consistent there because there's still a lot to add to this roster, and I'm very excited about these first couple of days. I'm very excited that the fans are so turned on about it. There's so much conversation about it. I love all of that. But I also understand that there is a long way to go, and we will see how it plays out and what kind of team the Eagles field when they open the season in Brazil in early September.
In Brazil.
So bizarre.
What did you think? I was going to end there, but then you brought it up. What do you think of that? I mean, that's the Eagles giving up a home game to go down and do this.
Yeah, I mean, so we knew it was going to happen somewhere because it was our turn, right? We have not given up a home game. In 2018, we went to London. That was Jacksonville's home game, and that's just the league. Yeah. You've got to give up a home game, and that's the way it is. The fact that it is Brazil, at first it was like, wow, this is kind of cool. First game ever in Brazil, and this will be kind of, and then you hear more about it. It's a 10-hour flight. Sao Paulo is not exactly the most desirable place. It's only a 46,000-seat stadium. The visa situation is really complicated. So, you know, I'm excited about it. It's going to be I'm glad it's the first game of the season. I'm glad it's going to be on a Friday night. There will be recovery time. It will be, I don't know, an experience. So, bring it on, and we'll find out in a bit here who the opponent's going to be. I'm going to go on a limb here and say, you know, Green Bay or Cleveland, but likely Cleveland, but we'll find out about that. Okay. And, I mean, just another adventure in the NFL. And I get it. The NFL wants to become a global brand and market to that part of the world. And that's, hey, Steve, at the end of the day, man, you know what it is. It's all about business, the business.
It's all about cash, man. Dave, you are the pro's pro. I always love talking with you. Thanks so much for the time today. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you. My pleasure, and have a great day.
You too. Dave Spadaro. That'd be the equivalent of the Big Ten taking the tournament and taking it to Sacramento. Hey, let's play the Big Ten tournament in Sacramento. This will be great. All right.
Don't give anybody any ideas, Steve.
Oh, yeah. I think I've got an idea. I mean, I already know where it's going. They haven't announced yet, but I know where it's going next year. Then after that, we'll see what they want to do. But we know there's some options, especially with the expansion of the conference. All right. We will come back with more in a moment. This half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com and News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. It's about 3 minutes to go over at the Target Center. Michigan State with a 71-61 lead. Actually, 2.5 to go. 71-61 lead over Minnesota. In the opening game of the day at the Target Center. Right now, Mike DeCourcy projects Michigan State to be a 10 seed. I think Hawkins just hit a 3, so it's 71-64 now. Tyson Walker's trying to take the game over here at the end. He's hit a 3, big drive to the bucket. He's played well. Already, St. Joe's, the number 9 seed in the Atlantic 10 at the Barclays Center, knocked off the number 1 seed, Richmond, in the A-10 tournament. So, big win for the Hawks. And so another big day of tournament action. Last night, Penn State won. Defense, the name of the game. They just they held Michigan to 34.5% from the field. They got points like 0.866 points per possession, something like that. Had two big spurts offensively. Zach Hicks was terrific last night. He knocked down 20. And that's his Penn State high. Fourth time in his career he's at 20 or better. First time at Penn State. And it was right when they needed it. Ace Baldwin played a great all-around game last night. Ace has one of those great stat lines right now that you just rarely see. He has more steals than turnovers this season, Todd.
That's pretty impressive.
I mean, you rarely see it. He has like 87 steals, 84 turnovers. Last night he had 3 steals, two turnovers. And the guy's playing massive minutes. Tonight's game boils down to this. Threes versus twos. Penn State's going to need to hit some threes tonight because Indiana's a team that does not make a lot of threes. They are an inside the arc team for the most part. They average about 5 3-point makes a game. If Penn State can get somewhere from 8 to 12 outside the arc tonight makes, that could be really big in getting them to tomorrow's game.